everybody, and welcome to episode 110 of the Line of Vienna Suite podcast. Obviously, a historic day for Wanderers. We're in court yet again, and so we're recording this on Wednesday night to go through the after effects and the consequences of what has been another stressful day for fans and people people are observing it all alike. It's been one of those strange ones where I felt strange all day. Wasn't really sure what my mood was like. I was quite excited. I was quite interested to see what happened. And as the minutes crept up towards D-Day, that's it. The butterflies arrived. And then all of a sudden it was stress time, headquarters. But someone who would have experienced that times 1,000 is my colleague and guest on tonight, Mr. Will Jones. Will, thank you for finding time in your busy media schedule to join us on the podcast tonight.
It's been a hell of a ride today.
It certainly has, one which you've performed with great dignity and clarity as well, which is important when there's a lot of things going on that are complicated. So it's just you and me tonight, mate. So we won't have the world's longest ever podcast, but we'll go through the effects of what's happened. So just to paint a picture, Wanderers are in the High Court today for the renewed hearing of winding up orders that have been levied against the club by the taxman over debts supposedly of around £1.2 million now. Things got interesting with the supposed presence of Mr. Bassini in the courtroom today, but I'll let you talk about that in a minute or so. And Wanderers were after an adjournment, weren't they? So, again, we'll do what we did in the last one, Will. If you can just talk us through your day. Obviously, being a student, you're probably unused to waking up at a sensible hour this morning. But over to you for a description of your day, mate. Feel free to go into as much detail as you wish.
Perfect, yeah. It was an ungodly hour that I was up this morning. It was about 7 o'clock. I got the train from uni at about 8. Travelled into London, getting in for about 20 to 10, quarter to 10, something like that. Give myself just enough time to get across London and get myself positioned nice and comfortably prior to the session beginning. Just sort of tweeted out updates as I went on the train this morning, asking for questions, whatever, answering whatever I could and deferring the ones that I didn't understand or didn't really have an answer to Ian, which he nicely responded to, which was ace. And from there, I just sort of went on basically whatever was put in front of my eyes. Obviously, walked into court at about 10:15, something like that, and it was actually queuing out the door, to be fair, because all sessions begin at 10:30, I believe. So they were queuing up for security outside, saw a couple of familiar faces in terms of reporters and colleagues and what have you, including Hillary, who was just waiting to go up to the courtroom. And we were in courtroom 5, not that that makes any difference or relevance to anyone, because it's just on the first floor in Rolls Building, and we'd sort of gone in, sat down, got a decent seat at the back. And everyone just sort of trickled in as and went. And at that point, obviously, I hadn't seen any familiar faces other than, you know, the ones that I spotted downstairs, including Hillary, but no other, you know, outstanding individuals, including Bassini. So, yeah, I'd just gone in and expecting Hillary to sort of defend for us and just see what would happen following that. And Hillary had sort of continued as expected when we were called upon, which was about 10:50, something like that, when we eventually came round to it. After a bit of confusion, people have thought it had started a little bit earlier, so it was the confusion of my suites, which I do apologise for. It was just a bit manic trying to get it all out, but it all happened so quickly, so it was quite stressful to manage. But the basic outline was a barrister had sort of informed the judge of the story, obviously it being different to the previous one, which we got an adjournment from. And they basically just explained the situation and what sort of the consequences were, and they insisted that a winded up position would remain in place, to which obviously Hillary was quick to respond to. Her initial request was a 7-day adjournment, and it then obviously responded. It required a response from creditors or a representative of a fighting party, which in this case was a creditor representative, believed to be Macron, but can't say for definite, as there was no disclosure of such. But so she was quite happy to sort of give us 28 days, which was sort of out of nothing, really, given that Hillary seemed to start begging and pleading once having admitted that there was no witness statement provided by the club, which seemed to play a huge part in saving us last time round. So to not have that, you know, made my heart drop for a minute, and then it seemed like, you know, Hillary was absolutely fine covering that, and she did very well in doing so. And then obviously the backup from the creditors was equally as perfect and well timed.
Yeah,
and that effectively, you know, got that over the line and managed to secure the adjournment of what was going to be 28 days, but I believe the first available date is the 8th of May, which is what it is. And that obviously coincides well with it being after the end of the season, which prevents any further impact on the league this season.
Well, which is absolutely positive, which is what I was hoping for, that it wouldn't impact upon those last few games. I was surprised, as anyone was, I think, when the extent of the allowance from the judge, the adjournment, came in, because from what I read in advance, that the understanding was that HMRC
yes,
were going to resist any attempts by Wanderers to do that. So what was the moment like when that adjournment was given? Could you quite believe what was being said?
No, I think at that point I was still expecting them to grant a 7-day one as opposed to a 28, and I think it was just
okay,
the random sort of response from the creditor representative was one which obviously nobody was expecting other than themselves. And then when the judge was granted that, obviously it was a sigh of relief, but it was also a little bit confusion, because obviously it was the last thing we expected, and in effect it now means that we've got absolutely no excuse to get a deal done. And perhaps maybe it even hints at the fact that they know that there's no imminent deal in place, and we perhaps do need the extra time as opposed to just the simple 7 days to get something done, you know. But whether it takes 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it may be, it, at the end of the day, it just needs to be done before next time, because I can't be bothered to go back.
Indeed. And so what's leading on from that, I guess, is the chairman's blog that came out in the afternoon after the fact, remarking on what had gone on during the day, but also establishing a few facts. You can use them in inverted commas if you want, whether you believe a word he says. But it then put a bit of doubt into what we all thought was a done deal with this Gaspard bunch, and obviously Football Ventures being well and truly out of it. So again, it looks to talk about Mr. Bassini. It does seem like he's a front runner at this time, at least to make himself present in the courtroom.
It does. It obviously shows that he's active in his involvement by being there in the first place.
Indeed, yeah. Did you just happen to spot him in the courtroom whilst you were there?
So personally, I didn't spot him, which makes me have a shred of doubt in my mind as to whether or not it was him. Although I do fully believe our friend at TalkSport, who was telling us the tale of such, he appeared to just enter the courtroom as told, about 5 seconds before the Wanderers case started, which I don't think it would be at all possible to even predict that, because the case is run at such an unpredictable length that it was so convenient that he arrived at the time that I was told, and he then disappeared before it had even been granted an adjournment date, which seemed rather strange to say the least. Which point I did see our friend from TalkSport dart out, presumably because he either had a report to fulfil, or in this case it appeared that it was actually somewhat of an attempt to chase after Bassini, or it was supposedly Bassini. I can't guarantee that for definite, but he claimed to have raced after him and asked for a name, to which he supposedly responded Lawrence Bassini before jumping into a white Rolls Royce and speeding off.
I know the feeling. I'm also just informed there's a late minute development that we've also got the lovely Ian on the line. Ian, are you there, mate?
I am, Chris. Apologies for being late.
Fantastic. No, I presume it must have taken you a while in your white Rolls Royce to find a signal somewhere to join us on the call.
Well, that's it. You just don't realise how difficult it is to use a phone in one of those things, I tell you.
I can imagine.
You're not going to get a parking ticket, though, are you?
I hope not. I'm in a restaurant car park, but I'm sure I'll be fine.
Fantastic. Oh, so Ian, I'm not sure which point you joined the call there, apologies, but Will's just been kindly giving us his rundown of events. I wonder if you could perhaps just give us your summary of how things went and your reaction to the decision today to grant Wanderers that lengthy adjournment to the wind-up order by HMRC.
I suppose the first thing today that really struck me was how nerve-wracking it is when you're actually watching it on a Twitter feed. You know, I was like everybody else, you constantly refreshing your button. I was literally sweating. I was that nervous about what was going on. I think when you're actually in the courtroom, and as I caught the back end of what Will was describing there, you're so caught up in it all, and you know your concentration is fully on trying to hear what everybody's saying, with all the distractions that are going on around you. It sort of doesn't really sort of sink in until afterwards, what's actually been said. But actually listening, sorry, listening, reading Will's tweets and everything else that was going on. It was really scary stuff, and particularly when he was saying how it seemed at the time that Hillary was on the back foot, and you know, some of the stuff that she was coming out with, so almost like pleading, that's how it seemed, for some extra time. I really did fear the worst. So when it suddenly came up that we'd got a full month, you know, adjournment, I was just absolutely shocked. Not complaining, quite obviously, but still just absolutely shocked that he'd done that. It just seemed to go against everything, about how those court processes work. So I've got no answer as to why we got so long. Maybe as Will said, perhaps the judge just looked across and thought, well, you know, this is a business that has got a very, you know, is very important for a community, and therefore I'm going to give it some time, some reasonable time, to actually sort something out.
Well, not to forget as well that the liquidation would also massively impact upon the value of the club too. So therefore, probably further muddying the waters as parties would go back around the negotiating table. So what would be your, Ian, to stick with you, what would be your assessment of Ken's chairman's notes that came out this afternoon? Have you had a chance to read them?
I'm sorry, I haven't. No, I've only
Okay, no
I
problem.
went offline at midday, so I've not seen them, I'm afraid.
Fair enough. Well, same question to you then, Will, in that case. Obviously, in light of your humongous media commitments today, which we'll touch on shortly, just out of interest, then what was your assessment of what Ken's had to say? Please feel free to talk not only on the case of the court action, but also his comments with regards to the players' strike and all the carrying on about the Ipswich game.
Yeah, it also just seemed to appear a little bit unnecessary. I mean, I think a couple of people were sort of expecting some sort of an announcement from the club as to what had happened this morning. It always baffles me a little bit how there is no official statement regarding the outcome, and they are literally just relying on fan pages and the press to get it out there, which. You know, I just don't understand at all. But there's obviously reasons for such decisions. But anyway, yeah, it sort of just comes as a bit of a shock that Ken's decided to come out and take swipes at everyone, even though that's all he's done for the last 18 months or so. But he's continued to go on and deny, you know, sort of any imminent deal with the Gaspard Holdings in particular. He's then gone on to sort of have a swipe at the players as he did last night. And saying that, you know, a strike would be a great a waste a great deal of everybody's time and money, which I think is a bit unnecessary given that, you know, having not been paid, and it's likely to affect the motivation and the potentially even the performance and the results on the pitch. You know, you can't really blame them for having somewhat of a you know, distaste to that, and you know, potential reason to not play. So it's a bit of a tricky one as to how you want to interpret it, and it's obviously just Ken saying what he's going to. You know, you can't really expect him to say anything different, and he's always going to back himself up. And he's also taken pride in saying that he's quite happy with himself, that he didn't take the administration, sorry, Chris.
Thank you.
And that obviously that we're not going to concur a 12-point deduction just yet. Whether or not it comes to that next time, I'm not sure. Incur, I should say, rather. But yeah, it's just sort of all up in the air again. I think now it's basically the message of the general message, and yeah, we'll just have to see where we go from now, and hopefully we can get something sorted, as I say, before May.
Absolutely. I mean, I did particularly enjoy, and it's maybe the first time you've seen this based on what you said before. Just a couple of lines, if you don't mind me just reading this out. Ken said, "I have read the players and management staff have said that being paid late does not actually motivate them to go out and perform on the pitch. That is fully understandable, but perhaps they could explain why results up to Christmas were not exactly impressive either." So just to dwell on that little bit, Will, I wonder if you could perhaps just again, just continue to give us your thoughts, because it seems to me that in a rambling statement in which he contradicts himself a number of times, that is the cherry on top of the icing on the cake for me.
Oh, his notes are just starting to not make sense whatsoever, and I think everyone's sort of pointing out the fact that he's almost losing it in what he's saying, because half of it does, as you say, contradict himself. And it's also further on about, you know, he just completely misses the point with how late the wages are and whatever, saying that, you know, yesterday was only April the 1st, so it's not as if it's weeks late, as if that makes it any better. It's just like, he's just completely missing the point and saying that, oh, it's all right because it's not happened that many times and blah, blah, blah. And what he doesn't realise is that people's livelihoods are actually on the line, you know. Indeed. People are struggling to make ends meet. And I think it's obviously a drop in the ocean to him, which makes it even more infuriating knowing that he must have, to some extent, some wealth, which he's just refusing to put into the company, into the club rather, and whether or not it's enough to sort of manage a championship club anymore. Is
a obviously
story,
not, yeah.
I spoke to our Liam earlier, and he actually said that he thinks that he's potentially got enough to make this all go away. If he does nothing else, then so be it. But I don't. Obviously, he's holding out for every penny, and he's within his right to hold out for that.
Sure.
But it's just really not understandable at all.
Well, just a quick question. So he's released some more notes this afternoon, has he?
Yes, he's done another one following last night, just basically saying that he's very happy with himself, that he didn't take the deduction because of the outcome, which he obviously anticipated or expected, which is very confident and perhaps cocky of him, shall we say. And he's obviously saying that, you know, the games on Saturday and Tuesday obviously hang in the balance, which we now know. Well, I think we're pretty sure, and now on, at least the Ipswich game anyway. And he basically just concluded the whole thing, you know, by taking more swipes at everyone and saying that, you know, everyone's wrong and all these interested parties are rubbish and blah, blah, blah. And it's just...
Yeah,
it's anything to make himself look good at this case.
I highly recommend you take a read of it. I mean, it's not as rambling as one last night in which he said, I've just had a quick look back at an hour over the course of two paragraphs. I'd reiterate that in my 3 years of the club, the staff have only been played late once. Yesterday was only the second time. Likewise, the players have only been paid late three times. So it's just kind of in the space of two or three sentences. I fully appreciate that it's open to interpretation, everything he's saying, but it's the last kind of action of a man fairly much losing control of his kingdom, isn't it, Ian? I mean, do you think we're going to see any more kind of final farewell notes from the man, perhaps settling one or two old scores once and for all?
Oh, without a doubt. He's, as we all know, Ken is never slow to respond, is he, to any perceived slights, whether you know it's genuine or not. So yeah. I fully expect to be some more misses to come from him before he does finally depart. If indeed he does depart, you know, I can't say I'm still 100% convinced that this deal that he says he's got with Bassini is going to come to fruition. So we'll just have to wait and see on that score. But yeah, I mean, from what you're saying, I mean, it sounds, from what Will was saying earlier, his notes today sound fairly similar to the ones he released the other day, and as you say, it's just full of contradiction, and just a total disdain as well. I think that's what gets me, is a disdain for people's livelihoods, for the way things you know, the way things should be done, you know, how a club should have and maintain its reputation. You know, it's got to mean something. It's just I don't know. It's just the whole thing's just a rambling mess, isn't it? To be honest.
Speaking of rambling messes, I wrote a piece for the website yesterday about Bassini and the fact that maybe he could be perceived as a necessary evil, much in the way that Ken ended up. You know, Ken would maybe like his view to be viewed as such. So, Ian, to stick with you first, obviously Bassini's past and his character have been well documented, and Watford fans in particular have certainly not been in short or shy in coming forward to tell us just what a bad end he is, no doubt in the same way that Wanderers fans would have in a few years when Anderson comes to take over at Wigan or Bury, etc. but what's your opinion, Ian, on the matter? I mean, obviously he has got his past and he has got his reputation as it is. would you see him as a necessary evil, or do you think he deserves a second chance? Would you rather not have him in within a million miles of the club? I'd be interested to know where you stood.
It's an interesting question, actually. Is it a necessary evil? I think he's been made a necessary evil because we've been given the option of him or liquidation. And then quite obviously, as we're all, you know, long-time Bolton Wanderers fans, the last thing that we want to do is see our club be wound up. So when it's put in those terms, then quite obviously you would say, yes, he is a necessary evil. But I would probably counter that a little in a way, in that he's only a necessary evil because that's the position that Mr. Anderson has seemed to have put the club. It's either you deal with this guy or I'm going to wind the club up. You know, that's the way it's coming across to me. We know that there have been genuine bidders out there that, for one reason or another, have not lasted the course. I don't believe for a second that they were all tyre kickers. I mean, obviously, the Football Ventures bid, you know, the people behind that had very good reputations. I would struggle to think of them as you know, tyre kickers. And time wasters, really. So it does make you wonder as to what the actual criteria was for Ken to do business with these various organisations. I mean, and on that point, I mean, there's two things. I mean, obviously, you know, Ken Anderson wants to take as much away from the deal for himself as possible. Well, I can understand that. I'm sure we'd all can see that point of view. But I do feel as though, you know, you would hope that they would have at least some thought to what benefits it brings to the club as well. And that just doesn't seem to be a factor, really, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
In regard to Bissini, I'm still struggling with it. I really am. I, to be quite honest with you, and until I think it was yesterday, I'm not 100% sure now, it's just so much has happened. Until I'd received a tip-off from somebody I know who's been involved in all this, I would have never, ever, ever believed that he would be able to put in a credible bid. It just the whole background to it just does not add up at all. You know, I mean, obviously the guy's previous history, his bankruptcy order, you know, that was it 2013? I mean, that's only, you know, 5-6 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
To build up a portfolio where you can actually go and bid for a football club in that short time is, I would say astonishing, but I don't think that's the right word. It's almost unbelievable, really. And the other thing that I know from speaking to other people is that one of the problems that a lot of the bidders have had is that when it came to doing a straight sale, the big issue they had was the additional debt that they would become responsible for in taking over the club, you know, the unsecured debt. And when they were doing the due diligence pieces, that debt was a lot higher than expected, and for a lot of them, you know, obviously I don't know about all the bidders, but you can imagine that they've all followed the same path in the fact where is the club worth the cost of that they would need to put it in to cover that debt off, and quite obviously, you know, a lot of the bidders have decided covering that debt plus giving Ken a decent payoff, it just doesn't make business sense.
Mm.
So it may well be, you know, in fairness to Bissini, it may well be that he has got, say, a war chest together where that debt can be covered and he can take the club forward. I mean, we don't actually know. Unfortunately, I, for me personally, once again, I find myself in the same position I was 3 years ago, does the leopard change his spots? Are we really expecting somebody to behave in a different way to what the prior history has shown? I don't believe that's been the case with Mr. Anderson, and I expect that's going to be the same with Mr. Bassini. I hope I'm proved wrong. You know, like everybody else, you know, if he comes in and has a stellar career as the owner of Bolton Wanderers, then fantastic. But I just don't see it, I'm afraid.
No, I think that's a very, very fair point and very well put in as well. Will, just briefly, obviously, I know you've also been discussing things over the course of the show, but Bassini, where do you stand on the man?
Yeah, it's difficult to tell where he's at particularly and how much of a show this is and whether or not he's got the backing and the ability to actually lodge a bid and financially succeed in taking over the club responsibly. It's hard to tell, as you say, as Ian said, you know, whether or not he'll have changed its spots. It's just really difficult to tell. Obviously, he's got a really, you know, shocking past, to be fair, in terms of directorial positions, and particularly at football clubs, and his history at Watford obviously isn't great, and we've been warned by the fans of Watford to stay well away from him. At the end of the day, it's not our choice, is it? And it's, again, you know, you'll always have to consider the fact that the EFL fit and proper test is just absolutely pointless, so it's just not even down to the relevance of that anymore. And at the end of the day, it's really up to Ken who is, you know, best bidder is in terms of what's in it for him.
Yeah, and it's better than having no club, isn't it? At the end of the day, you know, I think that you've got to be an issue and a view taken on that. So okay, so we'll leave that there. I think in terms of talking about the court action for today, we'll move on to other interesting things in the world of Wanderers. One of which being the threat of the game and not going ahead on Saturday. Obviously, Wanderers players have refused to train. Some might say cynically, obviously not me, that's obviously had no impact on the season so far anyway. But we refused to train for 48 hours in protest over unpaid wages. Now, from what I read earlier today, one or maybe part more than one of those 48 hours was a day off that they already had planned anyway. So much like David Wheater offering to sacrifice part of his wages and then that not actually being the full story, it seems like there's maybe more than meets the eye on something like that. I think, Will, you may know more than I do, having been focusing on the group chat that we have on Blind Vienna today. There may be some movement in that. Maybe you could just give us a bit of information on what you expect is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it wasn't disclosed as to what was going to happen with those games this morning, and then obviously it was going to roll over to this afternoon, but we had no official word as to when that was going to come. I was expecting it to either be tomorrow or even Friday. And then we got the nod at 2 o'clock from Alan Nixon, of all people, saying that he expected some sort of an announcement at 3 o'clock. Obviously, that was in the form of a chairman's note, which said that it was going to be dealt with by the end of the day. And then it was then announced by BBC Radio Manchester that there was an emergency SAG meeting, which the safety people, who would then discuss the ability to put the game on, which I believe the outcome has been settled as. It should be able to, as long as they can get the numbers, which to me is pretty inconclusive, because there's no way that they can guarantee or tell at this point how many are going to turn up and how many are willing to work against those who were supposedly organising a protest. I'm not sure to what extent that has a purpose or how effective that'll be. But it's remained to be seen, I think, and it could go all the way up until about, well, 2:45 as to, you know, whether or not it'll go on. And I'm sure there has to be a decision made at some point prior to that on an official level. But yeah, I think it is just going to go down to Saturday at least, really, to see whether or not that game goes on.
Yeah, and I think we all hope the game will go on. Ian, sorry, mate, carry on.
Sorry, it was a question more than anything else. What's changed this afternoon other than the adjournments? Has any of the staff been paid, have they? Or is it a case of...
I believe they've been indicated, and Will, you can maybe speak to this in a bit more depth, but I believe there's been an indication from someone who works at the club who's been in touch with us as well that payment's likely to be made. Will, am I right?
Yeah, it's going to be made overnight, I believe, and that the wages should be in their accounts by tomorrow morning, and if not, then potentially further action will be taken. And I think there is another safety meeting tomorrow morning where we'll supposedly get a conclusive announcement regarding the game being on or off.
I believe, in fact, that was also alluded to in Ken's notes, wasn't he? He mentioned in his notes that whilst the club has the funds to pay the wages due for legal reasons, which he doesn't elaborate upon, he's not able to do that until tomorrow, until the 3rd. So, again, to pass it back to yourself, Will, I think that's seems to be the most likely solution and the most likely course of action, doesn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, you'd like to think that the stewards, at the point of being paid, that they will just resume normal service and that they'll act in an orderly manner. Obviously, we can't guarantee that, and it's up to them how they act on the day, and obviously we hope they'll act in the best interest of the club, because I'm sure there will be some unrest from fans and club officials should they decide to walk out on the day, because obviously it causes huge issues having, you know, perhaps made a promise to act in, you know, maturely and then perhaps not doing so. Yeah. We can't say, you know, that protesting isn't mature because we did it ourselves, but I think it's just I think it's the difference between what they're acting upon, you know, especially if they've been paid at that point. It's a little bit different, isn't it? So it's just a case of look at me, I think, a little bit. But, you know, the fans have acted with their feet and you know, staying away from games and protesting and one thing and another, and I think it's just up to them to decide what's going to be the best, which perhaps isn't the best form of action in terms of leaving it in their hands as to how, whether or not the game's going to go on. But I think it is just going to have to go to that, and whatever comes out in the morning, we'll have to just go off that and hope that it remains in place for Saturday.
I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine. I mean, yeah, they're waiting for March's wages, so goddamn, you know, if we were in the same position, I'm sure that we'd feel just as strong. But fingers crossed, with it being such a key match as well, personally, I do hope the game goes ahead, and I'm sure it absolutely will. Okay, so that really doesn't leave us with a great deal else to talk about tonight. I was just wondering, Will, you mentioned before to me that you've been on a lot of media duties today.
Yeah.
I just wonder, who have you been speaking to? What kind of thing have you had to get on with today? Because obviously, yeah, you've been the man on the ground, you've not had your mentor there to keep an eye on things.
No, I've missed Ian. His company in the courtroom was quite valuable, you know, and obviously I had to ask for your input a couple of times, you know, on the way and sort of during as well. So I appreciate that nonetheless in your absence. But after that, it was just a bombardment of phone calls and requests for interviews and so on from various different outlets, including radio stations, TV stations, you know, including TalkSport, Hits Radio, Global, which includes Capital and Northwest and Smooth and whatever, I don't know, whatever stations there are. I don't really listen to the radio, but there's just so many that were asking for it. And then I made an impromptu appearance on the Wanderer pod, our rivals. they were more than happy to have me on. Unfortunately, a connection issue cut me out on the train on the way home. But I'm sure that appearance will, you know, provide enough of an insight as to what happened today, but hopefully this will shed a little bit more light on it. I've just been mad busy with it right up until, well, from sort of leaving the courtroom right up until about 7 o'clock, when I appeared on BBC Radio Manchester Live, speaking with Jack Dearden and host Michael, and we basically just discussed all things, you know, today and what's going to happen in terms of Saturday as well. So it's just been non-stop, really, and then obviously appearing on air at 9 o'clock, it's just going to go all the way through and then edit this, and that'll go out in the morning, and one thing and another, and, you know, I think I might get a break on Saturday if I'm not doing any match duties, but, yeah, it's been mad busy.
Interesting day. Well, as long as you don't forget us when you're at the top, that's the most important thing.
I won't count my chickens just yet, but I'm hoping it'll put a string in my step in terms of my career, but we'll have to see.
Excellent. Well, you've certainly performed admirably, mate, and I certainly wish you luck on it. Ian, have you any closing thoughts before we bring this to a head?
Just say, thanks to Will, actually. You know, he did a stilling job, to be fair. And I think it's good to have a fan's view in the courtroom. You know, when I did it 3 years ago, it was very much an unknown. But, I mean, certainly having sat on the other side of the fence today, I fully appreciated having somebody, you know, who's got Bolton's interests at heart, and delivering a view of what was happening, rather than just the sort of a neutral report, you know, the court reporter's point of view on it. And I think that was great. As to what goes on going forward, who knows? It's truly in the lap of the gods, isn't it? You know, things have changed so quickly, so often, that, you know, Bissini could possibly be a distant memory come 4 weeks' time, and it'll be somebody else in the frame, or he may be the new owner. I mean, truly, you know, who knows?
Yeah, we'll certainly see. Well, give us a quick score prediction for Saturday as well, Ian, assuming the game goes ahead. Obviously, it's a massive one against bottom of the table Ipswich as we try and claw our way towards the towards survival.
Well, I'll tell you what, I watched the match away at Ipswich, and there was certainly no great shakes back then. I was at QPR, and I thought we played really well. So I'm going to go 2-0 to the Wanderers. I think we're going to convincing win against Ipswich Saturday. So that's my forecast.
Oh, we'll all take that, I'm sure. Will, your thoughts? Hopefully you're going to predict something similar.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with 2-0.
That'll do for me. That'll do for me. Any closing thoughts from yourself, mate?
I'm just going to go to the Twitter questions, actually. We've just had a few from fans just wanting
to speak on
a couple of things from today. Philip Shulton has said, who's funding the club until the receivers are appointed on the 8th of May? I would have thought Kent Anderson until a buyer is found, but I don't know if any of you lads have a differing opinion.
No. I'm not sure, but Ian, feel free to interject there, mate.
Well, you would imagine it has to be Ken Anderson, doesn't it? You know, it's at the end of the day, he's still the owner of the club, so I would have thought that he would be the one that would be paying the wages, yes, most definitely.
Yeah, brilliant. And Dan says, question, do you have any idea how many consortiums are actually looking at buying? Is it just Bassini, or is it just loads of rumours flying about? Who knows, Dan? Who knows? I've got absolutely no clue, I've got to be honest. That's the one thing that gets me from today, is that we've come out of it, we're absolutely none the wiser as to where we are with a buyer, and that there's been nothing disclosed.
Even to the extent, perhaps, of wondering whether the Bassini interest is genuine, or whether that's either something that's been put up as a bit of a smokescreen by certain parties, even. It raises many, many, many questions.
It's a very good point there, actually, Will, because last time round, both the judge and the petitioner HMRC seemed to take great delight in spilling the beans, so to speak.
Yes.
So I just assumed that the same thing would happen again this time round. But obviously that wasn't the case. In regard to how many people are involved. It seems to be a changing number all the time, doesn't it really?
Yes.
And it would not surprise me in the slightest if there are other bidders come on the scene in the coming weeks. It really wouldn't, if it drags out, that is.
I think now they've got, you know, the 4 weeks or whatever it is to sort it. I think the club can sort of afford to sit back now and evaluate their options. And even if they don't go with any of the ones we've even heard of, you know, it's much more likely to go through, I think, you know, whilst it's watertight and unheard of, you know, because it seems like any media leaks have ended up in the deal stalling. So, I'd be more than happy for them to evaluate different options and private bids and what have you, and just whatever's, you know, most sensible for the club going forward, really. But, just having a look, I think we've got one or two more. Lewis Rathbone says, why does Anderson keep putting buyers off and then moan he has to keep putting money in because he feels unwanted? I'd like to ask him the same question, actually.
Yeah, I presume it's like trying to sell you a two-bed terraced house for 2 million quid, in it, and then wondering why no one's coming up and no one's making you an offer for this fantastic palace that you've got. You just got to imagine what, you know, the unknowables, I guess, that us commoners not privy to with regards to his price, his techniques, I guess, of getting interested parties in and dealing with them. Again, much like your question about how many different bidders are on the scene, the mind boggles, doesn't it? You could come up with all kinds of different scenarios.
Yeah, we've got two more. One from Tom Stott. He says, what the fuck's going on? I don't know, Tom. Honestly, no idea.
I think in the middle of the session, I think you could half a bone was asking that very question, really.
Yeah, they were. Because I tried to make sense of things, and although it wasn't in a particularly decent order, I think it was just in order of whatever was being said, and I tried to keep it that way. But, you know, obviously, a lot seemed surprised that there was an adjournment following sort of what I'd put out, which makes perfect sense in all fairness, because I think beforehand I'd spoken about something on the lines of Hillary, you know, accepting the admin as a possibility. Whether or not that was an overreaction, I don't know. But anyway, I think they were quite happy to give an adjournment anyway. So it was the most likely outcome, I think, going into there. So I don't think anything particularly outrageous should have been expected at that point, even if my heart did have a little flutter at one point. But yeah, I do apologise for how muddy my declaration
was.
No,
no, sorry, it wasn't aimed at you, Will. It was just,
no,
it was just the way the whole drama played out. It did seem that they didn't really have anything to offer the judge to do an adjournment.
No.
So, you know, I was thinking, what the hell's going on, basically?
Yeah, like I said, there was little to no, written information about the witness statement. So it was hard to tell, what sort of information the judge had been given and how that was going to impact the outcome. I think we all would have liked to know what was said on that sheet of paper, but only the judge will know that, and Hillary. So, I think it was hard for anyone to get 100% clarity out of it, so we'll just have to see. But, and I've got one more for you, Chris, actually. Do you ever wonder why Thugden wasn't there?
Thugden, the reputable Bolton Wanderers blogger who lived down south, presumably within spitting distance of the courts that you visited today?
Yeah, that one.
Interesting question. No, I never thought about that before. Surely he would have been there, or at least one a representative from his FBA nominated blogging site. That is interesting. I'll have to keep that in mind in future, mate. That's a very interesting point.
You'd think about taking interest in the club he supports, didn't you?
Yeah. he won't be allowed his stick in, would he? You're not allowed to take cameras in there, are you?
No tripods allowed.
Yeah. Oh, bless his little heart. Maybe when the next team he moves on to find themselves in financial difficulties, then he might be able to do something about it if he gets the time off school, bless his heart.
And that's all for the
time. You're a naughty boy, Will Jones. You're a completely naughty boy.
I am, very much. But, just to add to that, I'll just let Eddie know that my invoice expenses will be in the post.
Well, on that basis, I think we'll before we start getting even more childish, we'll bring things to a polite close. I can imagine that your social media contact details, Will, are known to most people in the Bolton postcode at this moment in time. But for those without that sort of information, those who perhaps live under some sort of rock, where can people find you online these days to talk about Wanderers, job opportunities, media commitments, etc.?
Yeah, they can find me at WI1LJ, and for any more updates regarding anything going on at Bolton, just generally, because I have no idea, to be honest, that can also obviously be found online at VNST, with all my own ramblings and this podcast itself, as well as it being on iTunes, where you can quite kindly leave us a review.
That will be very much appreciated. Ian, same question to you, mate.
Well, I think I've been retired off now, haven't I, Chris? So this young got to start. So, for any of us, joking. You can usually, as ever, find me at Super White Smurf. Just find me any questions if you've got any, and I'll try my best to answer them.
Fantastic. Well, again, your presence on here is much appreciated. And like I said, May the 8th is the next appearance in court, so I'll be back from my holidays at that point. So fingers crossed, it's back to some positive news about Wanderers, and we can look to finishing the season in with something positive, perhaps, and then moving towards through the summer, hoping that oblivion isn't just round the corner. So on that bombshell, we'll leave you alone for this episode. We'll have another one back on at the end of the weekend following the Ipswich game, no matter what the result is. And that is pretty much it from Line of Vienna Suite. Like Will said, you can find us at Line of Vienna STE on Twitter, Facebook, etc., in the usual spaces. Will, I'll let you close out because I hate what you do, but you can do it. Go ahead.
I'm just keeping up tradition, Chris. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the 110th episode of the Line of Vienna Suite podcast. It is time to say goodbye. So it's a good to say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Ian.
Goodbye, Ian.
It's goodbye from me. C'est la vie.